I will be reading 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 through 18. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.
Thank you, Gabe. Morning, church. It's good to be with you this morning and good to be with you both in person and those who are joining us electronically, and grateful that we can join together here as brothers and sisters and fellow believers at the Glenpool Church of Christ. If you are a visitor here, we are a congregation that has decided that we are not here as customers. We don't come here to be satisfied or to be served. We come here to be disciples of Jesus Christ, and we express our discipleship by belonging and learning and serving. So we are glad you are here, glad you are here to join us this morning, and hope you will, if nothing else, you can say when you left here, we worship God, and we encouraged one another. We're continuing our study in the apostles this morning. We started last week looking at common servants that are called to uncommon service. And we're going to look this morning at Peter. You've heard me say before that Jesus would have a very tough time in our modern world serving as human resources, because he has this knack for consistently picking people who, by our standards, are very poorly suited to the job. And I suggest to you this morning that Simon Peter is just that individual, not only poorly equipped to be an apostle, but even more poorly equipped to be a leader in the church. And yet that's exactly what Jesus sets out to do when Jesus calls him to be apostle. In John's account of the gospel, John tells us that one of the first things Jesus does when he selects Simon Peter to be an apostle is add to his family given name, his Jesus given name, you'll be called Cephas, which is the Aramaic equivalent of Peter, both meaning the rock. Your family may have named you Simon, we're going to call you the Rock. And what's fascinating is both Jesus and the Holy Spirit use those two names as teaching tools for this new apostle throughout his tenure, throughout his work as a student of Jesus. When Simon Peter is acting like a rough around the edges fisherman, he's often referred to as Simon, his family given name. But when Simon Peter is acting like an apostle, like a church leader, more often than not, he's referred to as Peter. And so it's almost like when you were growing up, and maybe you're still young enough, I don't think I ever outgrew that with Clarita, when your parents call you by all your names. All right, Bob Ray Smith. Well, you know, Bob Ray Smith, you know, when all the names are called, you better show up, right? You better show up, you better be humble, because something's going on, you're in trouble, versus, hey, I love you, sweetheart. That's kind of the tone I believe we get when Simon hears his family given name. Simon, Simon. Oh, what have I done now? Or Peter. So Jesus and the Holy Spirit, in the accounts of the Gospels, it's not 100%, but it's more often than you might think, call Simon Peter Simon when he needs correction, and call him Peter when he's acting like a church leader. And so we're going to look at how Jesus takes this unlikely candidate and turns him into a very effective church leader, because we need leaders in the church today. We need to follow this pattern in our own lives and in our congregational life to develop leaders within the churches today. So how do we grow church leaders? Well, let's look at Simon. Simon begins as an immature apostle. He begins as an immature apostle. I may not be working my clicker right, but it's not working here. If you would advance one. Oh, there we go. Look at you guys. Ah. My monitor's asleep. Okay. Okay. We need... I told you that I am he, Jesus answered. If you're looking for me, then let these 12 men go. This happened so that the words that he had spoken would be fulfilled. I have not lost one of these you gave me. Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, here's our Simon Peter, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" So here's this man who begins as an immature apostle. So when Jesus calls him, he lacks spiritual maturity. Early on, Jesus told this young fisherman back in Luke chapter 5 to put in the deep water and let down nets for a catch. And Simon is doubtful. He's the fisherman. Jesus is not. We've fished all night. We haven't had any luck. And so he said, we haven't caught anything, Luke chapter 5, verse 5. But he does so. He follows the teacher's instructions. He lets the nets out. And when they catch so many fish that their nets begin to break in verse 8, Simon says to Jesus, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." Simon says to Jesus, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." We can sympathize with Peter's reaction. He's in the presence of holiness, of pure holiness, of divine being, which has to naturally bring to you a recollection and an honest assessment that we are not divine and purely holy. But Jesus' ministry was one to come to draw people to him, not to repel people away. And so his first reaction is, instead of being drawn to this one who's holy, he's saying, "Depart from me. We need some distance. We need some space." And then in verse 10, Jesus said to him, "Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men." Simon. Simon, son of John. Use his whole name. "Don't depart from me. Don't be afraid. Draw near." Later, Jesus will speak of Simon Peter's upcoming betrayal. And as a way of saying that this apostle has a lot left to learn, he still lacks some maturity, Jesus warns in Luke 22, verse 31, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. Pay attention. You're acting like this rough around the edges fisherman, not a leader in the church." And then on the night of Jesus' arrest, Jesus chastises Simon specifically for his spiritual immaturity. Mark 14, verse 37 and 38. Jesus returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "And Simon," he said to Peter, "you are asleep. Are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray. Simon, watch and pray so you will not fall into temptation. The spirit's willing, but the body's weak." Jesus called him knowing Simon Peter. He knew who he was. He knew he was a rough around the edges fisherman, but he believed that Simon Peter could become a church leader. And he uses these two names to help him understand when he's hitting the mark and when he's missing the mark. So what Simon Peter lacks in spiritual maturity, he at least has some building blocks for church leadership. One of those is he's willing to take the initiative. You remember back in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do the people say I am?" And they answer, "Well, some say John the Baptizer, some say Elijah, some say one of the prophets." But then when Jesus asks the disciples, "Who do you say I am? What commitment are you willing to make? What profession of faith are you willing to make? Where are you willing to stand on?" Peter's the one that answers. And he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Scripture says, Simon Peter answered. And then when Judas betrays Jesus, it's Simon Peter, as the passage we just read, draws his sword and tries to defend his Lord. He's going to come to his defense. He's willing to take action. He takes the initiative. That's a good building block for leadership. Another good building block Simon Peter has for leadership, he's willing to get involved. When Jesus walks on the water, a fairly rare event, and they see him out there and they're a little unnerved by it, to say the least. Who wants to jump out of the boat and come to Jesus? None of the others. Simon Peter, like, if you're out there, I want to be where you are. A little different from "I'm unholy, depart from me" when he first meets him. Even if it's dangerous out there, I want to be where you are. He's the one that takes the initiative and jumps out of the boat. He and one of the other apostles, on the night that Jesus is arrested, are the only two who follow Jesus to the high priest's house to see what's going to happen to their Savior, to their Lord. He's willing to get involved. A good leadership quality. And he also possesses a curious nature, which is a good leadership quality. He's the apostle who, when somebody asks for an explanation, it's usually Peter. More often than not. Can you explain that to us, this difficult teaching? He's the one who asked Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive? Is seven enough? He's the one in Mark chapter 11 who asked about the withered fig tree. What in the world does this mean? He's the one who asks in John chapter 21 about the question. He's the one who questions the risen Lord. Everybody's in awe of the risen Lord. They don't know what to make of him. They're equal parts amazed, equal parts terrified. And he says, I've got some questions for you. He's asking about this. What about this apostle behind us? In fact, there are more recorded questions from Simon Peter in the Gospels than all the other apostles put together. He has a curious nature. So here's a guy who is spiritually immature, but he has some good qualities to build on. And Peter grows into a church leader. He grows into a church leader. We're going to read from John 21 here. John 21, beginning in verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him a third time. Do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. By the way, this is the last time Jesus will ever call Simon Peter, Simon. In a few short weeks, Peter and the other apostles will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And on that day, Peter's going to stand in front of this entire group, this God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven, and he's going to boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Peter's becoming this leader, this rock that Christ needs him to be, that Christ wants him to be, that Christ has been developing into this leader in the church. In fact, the only name that's mentioned in the Gospels more than Peter is Jesus. There's no disciple that ever verbally denies Jesus the same way Peter did. And yet there's none who profess him as boldly. As profess Christ as boldly as Peter did, and acknowledge Christ's lordship as boldly as Peter did. Peter's the only one that we know of that Christ ever called Satan, but Christ doesn't praise or bless any other disciple like he does Peter. So through it all, Peter is developing into a church leader. We're going to let Simon Peter speak for himself here. In the fact that Peter learns the leadership quality of courage. He's speaking of griefs and all kinds of trials, these things. He says they've come so that your faith may be proved genuine. I don't think Peter was ever a coward, but he learned the kind of courage that turns the other cheek. He learns the kind of courage that suffers injustice. He learns the kind of courage that a warrior struggles with. To be a lamb in times of hardship. Peter also develops the quality of submission. Submit yourselves, be subject for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. How long do you think it took Peter to figure that one out? How many times do you think he struggled against that one? The guy who's willing to draw a sword and cut off Malchus' ear. He learned what it means to live in submission, even to people who are difficult to submit to. Peter learns the leadership quality of restraint. In this context, he's talking about suffering for doing good. It's one thing to suffer when you mess up. It's one thing to suffer when you cause a problem. But when you're doing good and you suffer for it, Peter says, to this you were called. This is not a mistake. It's not God dropping the ball. It's not somebody ignoring you. It's not bad karma. To this you were called. Why? Because Christ set you example. And so in verse 23, they hurled insults at him, and he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Peter learned what it means to be restrained. Peter learns the leadership quality of love. Love covers a multitude of sins. How many times do you think in Peter's ministry did Jesus or the other apostles have to look at Jesus and go, well, I love him. I'm not going to hold that against him. How many times were Peter's sins covered by the love of others? And as a leader, he recognizes that and calls others to this quality of love. Peter develops a leadership quality of humility. Why? Because God opposes the proud. Does Peter know anything about God opposing the proud? Get behind me, Satan. And finally, Peter learns the leadership quality of compassion. He talks about the devil prowling around seeking for those to devour. In verse 9, he says, resist him standing firm. Why? Because you know your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings, the same kind of afflictions. How often when we're suffering, when something tragic happens, when the doctor comes back with a devastating diagnosis, and the diagnosis may be for you, it may be for someone you care about, someone you love. When there's a loss in your family that you struggle to get over with it. How many times when the car breaks down, when the house falls apart, when something happens, do we think it's all about us? How many times does your world get small? I'm the one struggling here. Why does everyone else seem to have it so easy? Why is this happening to me? Peter, in the midst of his struggles, is able to look around and go, well, you know what? I'm not the only one. There are other people suffering along with me. There are other people struggling in the same struggles I have. There are other people struggling with different struggles. But he says, your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who called you into his eternal glory in Christ after you suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. That's what Jesus was doing, saying, Peter, do you love me? How many deaths did Peter die reliving those times he denied Christ? He wasn't the only one. And Jesus came along and restored him. So here's the clue about raising and growing into church leaders. Peter's not perfect, but he's teachable. He's not perfect, but he's teachable. In fact, there's an account in Galatians chapter 2 where Paul says he has to confront Peter to his face. Paul has to come to Peter with the sin in Peter's life. Peter has decided that even though he is a believer and he's been baptized into Christ along with Jews and Gentiles, that now he's come under pressure from his fellow Israelites. And so he's crossing the street. He's avoiding contact with his converted Gentile brothers and sisters in Christ. And Paul has to call him on it. He said, I confronted him to his face, Paul says. And to Peter's credit, he listens. He pays attention. So much so, when there was the Jerusalem Council, I think it's Acts chapter 15, the Bible boulders can tell me in just a minute, because you're going to be doing Acts this year. But when they have the Jerusalem Council together to decide, are the Gentiles going to have to be circumcised to be a part of the New Testament Christian kingdom, Peter's the first one that speaks up for them. He's not perfect. But he has a teachable spirit. And that's the best quality for a leader. So let's follow this biblical pattern. It is a biblical pattern for growing into church leaders. Gabe read it for us, 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace and the knowledge. Grow in this unmerited favor and in the understanding of who he is and what that means to our lives and how we live for others. That's what it means to be leaders. And here's the challenge, church. This is true of Glenpool Church of Christ right here, right now, today. This is also true of the church in general, wherever you go. The church is in desperate need of leaders. We need leaders. And yes, that includes elders. We need men who are willing to step up and serve as shepherds, people with shepherd's heart, people who meet the descriptions in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. We need people who are and families who are willing to step up and be elders in this church. And every church I know is in the same position. That's also true of deacons. We need people who are willing to step up and serve the physical needs of the congregation, take responsibility, and be a leader in that respect. We need people who are willing to step up and be leaders in the Sunday school classes and teach classes. Thank you for all you teachers, for all of you who have taught and continue to teach. God bless you. We're thankful for all of you and everyone who continues to serve in every capacity I'm going to mention. We don't want to discount your service whatsoever, but we need more. We need leaders to step in to take care of our nursing home ministry. Bruce does a wonderful job. I bet Bruce would love some help. In our sound booth. You name it. We need leaders to take care, to help with our VBS. We have great people in charge of VBS. We need people who help with VBS. We need people who are willing to lead. We need leaders who are willing to lead at work. You go to work and everybody at work knows you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you are not perfect, but you're teachable. We need people who are leaders at school. We need retired folks who are leaders at the golf course and the coffee shop and wherever else we hang out for fun. And here's a model. Devin mentioned that we had a prayer for a leaving family. And that's one of the tough things. You get to know people and you get to love them. And their family, and then life calls them somewhere else. It's a great celebration when they come, and it kind of hurts when they leave. And we did. When our last family left, we prayed blessings on them as they gone, as we have with every other family. And God, please bring us more. And now we have the main prizes. That's God. That's an answer to prayer. Not perfect, but teachable. And I'm excited to see what they bring to this congregation that God knew we needed that we didn't have, or that God knew we needed more of. Because Paul tells the church in Corinth that God has placed every part of the body, just everyone exactly how he wants it to be. I don't believe it's a mistake when people come here. And I don't believe it's a mistake when God calls them somewhere else. So if you are a charter member here, and you've been here since day one, you've met in the mobile home, and you've seen every phase of construction. You've seen things evolve. We're blessed to have you here, and you're an important part of this congregation, and you bring something that we need. If you're a first-time visitor, we're blessed to have you here. If you're a new member, we're blessed to have you here, and I'm excited to see what God brings to this congregation through our new families. For those of us who've been around for a while, we're here for a reason, too. We need leaders. We need more leaders in every capacity, in every age, both genders, in every level of Bible knowledge. Jesus looked at a fisherman, rough around the edges, and said, "This guy's a church leader." And then he set out to help him grow into that. This congregation would love nothing more than to help you grow into leadership. In whatever capacity God's called you, whatever capacity you're capable of with the power of the Holy Spirit, Bruce's class. We need people who have the basic ingredients of starting to be a leadership. People who are willing to get involved. People who are willing to take the initiative. People who are curious by nature. And we need people who are willing to develop the character of a leader. Submission, restraint, humility, love, compassion, and courage. Not talking about perfect people. I'm talking about teachable people who are willing to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Pray about that. Pray about where the level of service that you're offering today, the level of leadership that you have, and pray about whether or not God's calling you to advance that, and where and how he's calling you to do so. And if there's something else that this church can help you with that we haven't even talked about, please tell us so. We're going to stand in just a minute. That's our invitation to you. That's a formal invitation that we can serve you in any way. Please tell us how. If you're at home, reach out to us. But if you're here and we can serve you, pray with you, encourage you, spend time in God's Word to see what his plan is for your life. If there's some way we can serve you, won't you tell us how? Let's stand. Let's sing.